the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Welcome everyone here on Beyond the Pitch. I'm Juan Arango and another edition of One-on-One is... I bring in a good friend, a person that, I got mad props for, and if I ever had a chance to be able to get into somebody's luggage, she's the luggage I'd like to be in because, you know, her always wanting to go to Netherlands, always wanting to go and travel around, and just at least to be able to be there, just would be kind of nice. And it's Cecilia Lagos. Cecilia, how are you? How's everything down in Chile or wherever? I don't even know where you're at right now, to be honest with you.
Hi, Juan. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be invited to your show, Beyond the Pitch. And I'm here in Santiago right now, in a very, very cold, almost winter here in, down in the south.
Oh, man. Well, I mean...
So you don't want to be jealous of being here right now because it's very cold.
Well, yeah. I mean, in here, it's very hot. So, I mean, you know, give or take. But what do you prefer? Well, that's what you're going to get.
Where you are?
I'm in Miami right now.
Yeah, exactly. I want to be Miami in South Beach. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been raining for about a week and a half or so, but I mean, if that's what you like, then
taking a dip, I would be happy.
Oh, okay. Well, sounds good. We can trade. I bet everybody would be very happy and fine. We can just, you know, yeah, at least some cold every time is good to kind of change things around. Then again, that's me being wishful, I guess. Cecilia, look, how is the national team? How is La Roja being looked at right now? From a Chilean media standpoint, obviously, I had the chance to cover them last year during Copa America and during some World Cup qualifiers. How is the mindset changing a little bit with this national team coming into this Confederations Cup?
Well, the mindset right now is one of caution, I would say, because we realize that they are not getting any younger. And these last qualifiers have been very, very tough and quite irregular. So the thing is, will they be able to really play at the same level that they did after the group stage, like they did in Copa America Centenario? We are not expecting really the same level of Copa America 2015 and let alone what they showed in Brazil 2014. We really acknowledge that they are very tired and they are getting older because that's inevitable. So I'm sure what we really know is that they are going to give it all. Because they always do. Because they love to play for La Roja. They love to play for Chile. That's one of their main motivations. Even if they are totally burnt out. Because if you think about it, they haven't had proper vacations in 4 or 5 years. Since Brazil 2014, then they had to play Copa America here in Chile, then Copa America in the United States, now Confederations Cup. So it's been 4 years of very, very intense seasons without the chance of rest, proper rest. And the body builds you. I mean, the body starts complaining about that. And you see many players with physical problems right now. Eduardo Vargas, Marcelo Diaz, Arturo Vidal, they all resent something. They are never at 100% shape. So I think we are concerned about that their bodies are starting to show this eroding that they've been through all these years. And that's probably the main concern. But we are not concerned about the level of display or the way they are going to give it all, because we know that that's going to happen. Then, if we have to face Portugal or Germany, that's going to be a really, really tough test. And probably people want to see that. But we really don't know at this point if we are that powerful team under Sampaoli, capable of facing this kind of rivals and probably make them really uncomfortable, or if it's going to be a party for them. You know, I think we are, it's a mystery. I think it's a kind of mystery right now, because I think they are in a transition, in a declining phase. So we don't know until when they can really show the best of levels in the way they play, especially because of their physical condition.
Interesting.
I think we are kind of cautious.
Yeah, I mean, well, it seems like everyone coming into this tournament is very cautious. Germany bringing in just maybe a handful of players. I think it's two or three players from the national team that were part of the World Cup side. And obviously, it's not going to be an A side for Germany. There's teams like Mexico that they're bringing in their full squad. Teams like Portugal that are bringing the majority of their Euro-winning side. So it's kind of a mixed bag. With Chile, you didn't know what you were going to get. But it seems like what's most important is at least to be able to get these players in some type of rhythm with confidence for the World Cup qualifiers. But if you hear Pizzi, he says something completely different. You see him that he's trying to embolden them, empower them to become this team that has, and according, he just said it a few days ago at a press conference, saying that Chile has the potential to be a World Cup winner.
Yeah, and that's something that he also said in there was excerpt, like a preview of a biography that's going to be published in the next months, where he said the same thing, that if Chile wants, they can win the World Cup. But that was a bit taken out of context, because he explained that. Of course, many of us thought, okay, that's a little bit too much. But then he thought, if we all are in top shape, in top condition, 100% physically, and in football level, we can definitely fight for the World Cup title. But the problem is that when I say all, that group of players that conform this all, it's very, very small. It's very limited. It's only basically the starters and a couple more players, and that's it. So they don't have a backup really at the same level, and that's a problem. And he acknowledges that. He said that behind these top players, behind these starters, there's very little. So that's his condition. I mean, he's very confident about what this group of players can deliver, mm-hmm. as long as they are in top condition. Mm-hmm. But we all know that they are not really in top condition anymore. And I'm not sure if they will ever be again in top condition as we saw them in Brazil or in Chile in 2014 and 15.
Yeah.
So it's more like a wishful thinking. But if you ask me, I do think that these players, yeah, could be fighting and could dispute the World Cup if they were, as he says, in super top condition. But let's be honest, they are not. So I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah, and they're not going to have time off now. They're not going to have time off. Obviously, when the seasons start, especially for the European-based players, and forget it,
exactly.
To have enough time to prepare when the European season ends and start to get those players involved into World Cup. Well, I mean, one of the players that suffered a great deal is Claudio Bravo. I mean, everyone has well documented how he struggled a lot to adapt to life under Pep Guardiola at Manchester City. Mauricio Isla has been all right, but there's still some problems with Chile from a tactical standpoint. If you look at, especially at left back, is it going to be Eugenio Mena? Is it going to be still the same names? Mena, Bucejur, those types of players, are they going to be able to step up, or are you going to start looking at other options as well to start filling in some of those gaps that maybe don't have the same kind of performance curves that they did at first?
Well, that's a problem. And we can link that to what we were talking just now about what Pizzi said. Because we don't have replacements, proper replacements. And you can think that Bocellur, he's already 30-something, like 32 or 33. His birthday was like yesterday or the day before yesterday. So that's the problem. We don't have proper replacements for these players. And Eugenio Mena, we all know he was involved in a DUI incident the night before they took the plane to Russia. So it's complicated, and some people said that, or some reporters said that he could play as a starter, against Romania in the last friendly before the start of the Confederations Cup. But I don't really think that's going to happen. I think Bosuyur has come into a pace that allows him to be the starter. And he hasn't had disciplinary issues either. So I think, to me, if you tell me that Bosuyur should start. But anyway, as you say, yeah, that there are not many options. If you start thinking, we are not having a new generation of players behind the current ones at the top leagues in the world to have the same rhythm of competition. And that's a huge problem. So we don't know really what's going to happen once Bosuyur or Mena or all of them start retiring, because the rest are only taken from the local league, and the local league is doing very poorly. It's doing very, very poorly.
Yeah.
So it's a complicated situation, because, as I said before, this group of players are in a transition where they are declining, they are getting older, they are getting burned out, because, as you said, I mean, they've been for 5 years, and they're going to be like 6 or 7 years in a row without vacations. So it's really I don't think there's a way out.
Yeah, and one thing that we saw, it was a couple of years ago, I remember, where Chile did have a local national team. I mean, it's a couple of South American teams have tried that during their mini camps in January, February. And Chile ended up playing with a group of players from the domestic league, but nothing really came of it, especially in that match against the United States where they won 4-2. And there haven't been many players. I mean, if you look at the call-up list for Juan Antonio Pizzi, you see older names that have been rather familiar, Jose Pedro Fuensalida. You start looking at, you already mentioned two of them, in Gonzalo Jara, as well as with Jean Bouchard. But then one name that comes out, especially many that aren't familiar with how the Chilean league works, is Angelo Zagal. He was one of the leading goal scorers for Huachipato this past season. What can you tell us about this player, and is how he could be one of those players that can come in and start to give a little bit more depth in a position or a sector of the pitch where there isn't a great deal of depth to begin with up top, when you have Alexis Sanchez, who's had obviously a great season, a great career with Arsenal. And you have Edu Vargas, who struggled a great deal transitioning over to Tigres. You have Nicolas Castillo, who had a very good season with Pumas. But outside of that, you don't have much else. I mean, you don't have many other options. Edson Puch is another one you can also add. He had a pretty good season with Necaxa as well. But you need somebody else to come in and add some competition, but also be able to come in at a moment's notice.
Yeah, well, if you think about that, with Sampaoli, he was very close about the same group of players, and he didn't want to use new ones. And it was there was a big deal of criticism towards him because of that, because he didn't want to use or prove, or I mean, to try other players. It was very difficult for him to call up other players that he didn't really know. He didn't want to take any kind of risk about that, which, of course, harmed a lot any possibility of replacement of or a backup, if you will, like a new generation, you know, to start warming them up for the future. No, not at all. So Pizzi started to change things, but then he called up Puch, which has been a wonderful addition, and he has a wonderful season in Mexico, but he's already also older than 30. Jose Pedro Fonsalida is also like 34 or 35, maybe more. Maybe I'm running. Maybe I think I'm getting short, and he's older. So the replacement and the refreshment, so to speak, of this national team are really old players. And we don't have a new young generation. And in that sense, Angelo Zagal, yeah, definitely can be a player of the future for many years to come because he's only 24. But yeah, it's difficult for him unless he really sees the opportunities he's given to take his spot as a starter. Because there you have, as you said, Alexis Sanchez, there you have the best players, some of the best players in the world. So right now, well, you can think that the attacking section mm-hmm. of the national team is suffering because Eduardo Vargas has had a terrible season in Mexico. Mora and Castillo were ruled out because of injuries. And basically the only, how would I say, top scorers we had left are Alexis Sanchez, Zagal, if he really shows he deserves to be in the national team, and Eduardo Vargas, who's a mystery right now because it's true that he didn't have a good season in Mexico, but he usually delivers for the national team, although he hasn't really delivered in the last games because he's had really, really bad luck. So, well, Angelo Zagal, he played in the last friendly against Burkina Faso, and he really didn't affect much the performance of the team. He had a couple of opportunities, maybe more than a couple, but he couldn't score. He couldn't put the ball in. So many people started criticizing, like, okay, this guy is here, he can score. And he had pretty good chances, and he couldn't really score one. So it's a matter of proving his worth with goals. And if he doesn't score as he does in Huachipato, then it will be worth nothing. And the problem is that he can be a top scorer or one of the top scorers here in Chile, but the level here in Chile is so poor that anyone can be really a top player here. The most important signings are players that are on the brink of retirement. And they come here, of course, they become kings because they come at 35 or 33 years old from Europe. And of course, they can use all of their experience here. But that doesn't mean that the local level, it's really good. I mean, actually, if you think Chilean teams do terribly poorly in Copa Libertadores and Copa Sudamericana. So to me, Zagal has still to prove his worth internationally, because here in Chile it's really easy to do anything, to stand out. Mm-hmm. But then go and do it in the international arena. That's another thing. And he still has to show that.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I do remember off the top of my head, you know, when you see players like Santiago Silva going over to the Chilean league, and he's having a very successful time over in Chile, and that shows you some of the struggles that are going on within the domestic league there. And you start going back to the national team, and it again puts a lot of the burden on the midfield. Again, that those three players in the middle that we've been very accustomed to the past couple of years, in Vidal, Aránguiz, Díaz, they are the fulcrum. They're the ones that if they're not balancing Chile, their success goes down. You also start looking at players like Felipe Gutierrez, Tuco Hernandez, those types of players that can come in and really change things, or at least step in when Aránguiz has been injured, when Díaz has been out, when Vidal has been injured as well. And again, I think a lot of that strain is going into that midfield for Chile. And more often than not, we see a great deal of dependence on that midfield.
Yeah, you know what? Especially Díaz. Díaz has a very ungrateful, how would I say? It's the right word. Please correct me if I don't use the right word.
Like it is a very ungrateful position.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's the one that gets pointed out whenever a mistake occurs. Exactly. But then everything that Vidal and Aránguiz are able to do, and even you start looking up with when Valdivia was there, and when you start looking at Pizarro, even with Alexis and Edu Vargas up top and Fuensalida, a lot of the things that happen in front of him are because of what he prevents doing in his sector. So, I mean, yeah. I think that that really is so important to mention every time, because he is that balance that Chile is able to give.
Exactly. He's the axis. He's the axis of the team. And the team resents a great deal in this absence. Actually, there's a statistics. I don't remember it exactly, but there are, it's a huge difference between the games that Chile wins with Diaz and without Diaz. Without Diaz, the wins are way less, and you can tell. But if you think also, Diaz has spent most of the season injured. He hasn't had a regular season. He has to pause every other month because of some injury. So that's the problem. Right now, he's also kind of injured because in the game against Burkina Faso, they were terribly tough. The African players, they didn't realize that it was a friendly, I think. So they were really beyond the edge to go really strong with the balls and everything. And they one of them fell against the knee of Diaz, so he's resented with that now, and we don't know if he's gonna be 100%. But then, of course, if he's not there, Pizzi has bet for with Hernandez, and no one really likes Hernandez because he's like correct. He's a defensive midfielder, and sometimes he can start an attack, but he's like, how would I say? He's a bit limited, in my opinion. He doesn't really, he's not as important as Diaz at all.
No.
I mean, he can't be leveled with Diaz at all. So of course we resent Diaz's absence, and then Vidal. He always gives his 120 and 150%, but he's not 100% fit either. He trained separate from the rest of the team yesterday, and he says, no, I'm going to be right, I'm going to be okay. But anyway, we know that he's really burnt out. And the same thing Aránguiz. Ever since he got back from his Achilles heel injury, he has never been the same again. Although he has had some really good games with Chile, but anyway, we acknowledge that there's a physical drain and strain with Chile that doesn't allow these players to perform at the same level that they did before.
Yeah, I mean, to me, my favorite player from Chile is Charles Aránguiz.
Yeah.
Just but what he's able to do, but you know, he's just very smooth at what he does. But it seems that this particular Confederations Cup is going to see a lot of Felipe Gutierrez. Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I see a lot of Felipe Gutierrez being involved in the midfield, being involved in how that midfield moves around. And don't you see that, or do you see the possibility of Pizzi even going to a 4-4-2 and being a little bit more base compared to what he's been, with Copa America? And even when Sampaoli was a coach, do you see him being able to switch or kind of evolve into a more of a 4-4-2 or variation of that?
Well, I think as long as they as they don't have a central striker, yeah, that's a possibility. And especially because also Pizzi doesn't play with a line of three in the defense. He's always, and when he was a coach of Universidad Católica, also he was always sticking to the 4-4-2. And so I think that's quite likely. I mean, right now, an example against Romania, the lineup that it's that it's been kind of filtered or that it's been supposed and informed by the reporters is with Herrera, Isla, Medel, Jara, and Bocellur. That's four in the defense, of course, with the side backs going back and forth all the time. And then Aránguiz, Díaz, Vidal, Fuenzalida, Vargas, and Alexis Sánchez. But Fuenzalida is always coming from the middle and trying to move forward. So definitely you can have that adaptation. But about Gutiérrez, you know, I think Sampaoli had him more considered, way more considered than Pizzi. Even though Pizzi had him as one of his most important players in Universidad Católica when he was a champion in 2010. But by then, Gutiérrez was a 10. And he was a wonderful, wonderful attacking player. And then when he was transferred to Twente and he started playing in Holland, then he became a sort of how do you say mixto? Hello?
Look, he's more, yeah, more one of those mixed type of
Yeah, of course.
And for those that want to understand what Ceci and I are talking about as far as a mixed forward, one that both is capable of filling a containment role, a holding midfield, but also he does go on the attack, more of a box to box, if you will.
Exactly.
Does have a propensity to be going on the attack a bit more, and if need be, can drop back and play either as a deep lying midfielder, creative midfielder, or even as an attacking midfielder. So, I mean,
yeah,
you do have that propensity with Felipe Gutiérrez. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, exactly. He started as a 10. He started as a creative midfielder, and then he evolved when he was in Europe as a mixed midfielder. And then when Sampaoli and Gutiérrez had a very, very close relationship in terms of loyalty, because Sampaoli realized that Gutiérrez went to Brazil injured, and he had serious problems with his knee, and Gutiérrez postponed surgery on his knee to be with Sampaoli in the World Cup. And Sampaoli couldn't be more grateful about that forever. I mean, he was grateful forever with Gutiérrez because of that. The problem is that Gutiérrez really, he sold his future when he did that, because he wanted to be in the World Cup. But then after the World Cup, he had to undergo surgery in his knee. I think it was his right knee. And he never, never, never could play again at the same pace or at the same level. And he really lost points with the national team and with PC because of that. Because actually, he moved from Twente, who was in a very complicated financial shape, and then he had to be sold to Betis, and he couldn't really perform well and deliver for Betis, and now he is in Brazil, in Inter, in second division. So he's also been declining in his level, and he's not as important as he once was in Católica or in Holland in Twente. So of course, if you tell me, Pizzi should consider him more as Sampaoli did, in example, as a replacement of Vidal, with that double function, because Gutiérrez can be a really, really efficient player at that position. He can really be defensive and super tactic and super efficient at that, and he can also start an attack and accompany the attack and finish the attack and score. But right now, he has lost that pace. He has lost that level, and Pizzi hasn't considered him, even when, example, we had for the last matches, even against Argentina, an example, Gutiérrez played against Argentina in the best times of the Sampaoli era, and Pizzi didn't consider him at all. He had the experience of replacing Vidal against Argentina before in Copa America, in qualifiers, and Pizzi didn't consider him. So even though I agree with you that he can really be a great player and a great alternative in the midfield. I don't think Pizzi is considering him in the same way we do.
Ceci, look, I'm going to get you upset here for a second.
Okay.
Not even upset, but just kind of get you riled up, because I know, and I read one of your articles, and obviously we've been talking about Sampaoli. Sampaoli leaves Chile, goes to Sevilla. We know the story with Sevilla. And now he's the coach of the Argentine national team.
Yeah.
How do you see that relationship flourishing? I mean, Sampaoli, his intention is to be able to his dream as a coach was to coach the Argentine national team. But knowing how he's left Chile, knowing how he's left Sevilla, if things don't go well with Argentina, do you see him starting to get a little bit more Sampaoli-ish when it comes to saying, well, you know what? There's going to be an offer out there. I'm going to see if I can go.
You know what? Unless it's River Plate and unless things go very, very bad with Argentina, I don't think he wants to move, because he declared to the four winds, as we say in Spanish, that he really wanted to be the coach of Argentina. And that was his main and only big dream in his life ever since he was a child or a teenager, according to his words. And the way he conducted himself here in Chile, the way he conducted himself in Sevilla, tells you that he was at least coherent with that intention. So now that he fulfilled that dream, of course he will have to deliver results. And we don't really know what's going to happen, because he might have the best players or some of the best players in the world, but that doesn't guarantee that you're going to get the results. And I think if we judge him for the results he had with Chile, and with Lau, an example, I don't think he delivered really well with Sevilla, except in the first semester of his stay there, because he got distracted. He only really wanted to leave for Argentina. So he really he didn't take care of his work in Sevilla, because he wanted to justify his move out. You know what I mean? But according to the work he did in La U and according to the work he did in Chile, I think he should, with those players, really deliver results with Argentina. Now he has also declared that he is a huge fan of River Plate. So the only way that I think that he could leave the Argentina bench could be if things are not going well with Argentina or with the members of the board of AFA. I don't know if he could have conflicts, because he also, I mean, he's used to deal with this kind of directors. They are not really clean, they are not really transparent, and he doesn't have a problem with that. I think he gets along very well with the kind of people, because I think he is a bit like them too. But if things are not going really well and he doesn't feel really comfortable with the Argentina job, and then River Plate comes along, he's going to leave Argentina for River Plate, that's for sure. But before, I think he's going to give his all. He's going to give his everything to make the Argentina job work out. I'm sure of that. I'm sure of that. I mean, it's his dream. If he fails at that, I don't think he's going to be happy. No, not at all. And he wouldn't think.
I knew I was going to get you there, because I read your article that you wrote a while back about Sampaoli, and I guess the gist of it was, you know, he the Sampaoli that really no one in Argentina knows about, and you know, talking about him. And I mean, I was very familiar with how you felt about him. There was a lot of other journalists, especially, you know, the late Bonvalet. He was very, very, you know, exuberant and very emotional about how he felt in a negative sense about Jorge Sampaoli. And in no way, shape or form am I trying to make it sound negative. It's just both sides of the story have to also come out as well. But I wanted to get your viewpoint on that one because of the article you wrote about things you had mentioned to me previously about Sampaoli, things, of course, that you can share as well. And Sissy, it's been a pleasure, but I mean, it sounds a bit disappointing as far as the expectations for this tournament, but obviously Pizzi and many in the media want to look at Russia next year instead of this year. They, you know, it'd be great if they won the Confederations Cup, but it's not going to mean much. It's not going to have much taste to it if they're not too successful in Russia next year.
Yeah, of course. And you know, it's funny because I always think about that stats by Mr. Tip, who says that the team that wins the Confederations Cup never wins the World Cup or never does well in the next World Cup. So, of course, Chile has to be realistic. And if they win the Confederations Cup, it's going to be probably the best or one of the best moments of Chilean football history. And maybe the last one in a long, long time, because we don't have really a new generation as good as this one. So, it's of course, it's we have to think and we have to be realistic about the declining phase of this generation of players who are all around 30 years old. And we all know that football players had a very young expiration date. So, and especially because they haven't had proper rest in so many years. And it's going to be like 6 years in a row that they won't have vacations if they qualify to Russia, for Russia. So, it's quite likely that they're going to give their all in this Confederations Cup. If you tell me right now, I see it very unlikely that they win it. They might, but they're going to fight. I mean, they're going to sweat blood to win it, probably. It's going to be a huge effort for them. But then I think in Russia, well, I don't think they're going to do better than they have done in South Africa or in Brazil. Mostly because of the decline of this team. So I think that they have to concentrate first on the Confederations Cup. I mean, the most immediate thing, then the qualifiers. And then I think we will be really grateful if they qualify for Russia. But I don't want to. Maybe it's because I'm so down to earth and I'm so practical that I don't really want to suffer. If I tell you, yeah, really, we can win the World Cup. No, I know we won't. No, it's not. No, I mean, I have to be realistic. They are in a declining phase, and we have to deal with that. And I think sometimes I get a bit worried about people not really getting that. That people here, there was a poll a couple of days ago. Like 81% thought that that Chile could win or is going to win for sure the Confederations Cup. Okay, you can have the intention. Of course, I want them to win, but to stay that for sure, I think it's very risky. Overconfidence has never done good to anyone.
No, it hasn't.
So we have to be realistic. No, we have to be realistic. Even though Germany goes with a B team, but we have Portugal, and let's say that we face Portugal in the semifinal or a final. I don't know if we're going to beat them. Really, I mean. Well, let's be honest and realistic. They might, but Portugal is coming with the best version of Cristiano Ronaldo, even though he's going to be tired too. And we are struggling to put together a team that's very mended, so to speak, because their physical frailty. They are all kind of injured. They are not. None of them are 100%, except those who haven't played, of course. All the rest is injured in a way or resented physically, one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, and it's crazy to hear that, but at the same time, you also analyze it and you see that this national team has been around. I mean, the shelf life that they had has been amazing. I mean, you start looking at the Colo-Colo sides when Claudio Borghi was the coach, and back in 2004, 2005, 2006, Alexis Sanchez, Arturo Vidal, Claudio Bravo, and a couple others that really were involved in that team. And you start looking at the entire nucleus, and it's been around for over a decade, but the answer's not there. You don't see the answer as far as the future's concerned. I mean, the under-17s, qualified for the World Cup this year, the under-20s didn't. I mean, there's been a lot of inconsistency at the youth levels. There's a lot of things that need to be worked out over at Juan Pinto Durán to be able to see if, you know, the Chilean program can continue this run of success and make it more of a habit than something that just happens every once in a generation.
Exactly. I've been thinking about that, and I've started to think myself that we are going to go back to the past, and we're going to struggle to make it to a World Cup, and we are going to make it probably in the last half or in the last spots. Well, now they're going to have more spots starting 2026, which I don't really like, but that could be more of a possibility. But anyway, there's not a program for developing youth players in the ANFP, in the Chilean FA. And that's terrible, because the success of Venezuela these days has made us look ourselves and to say, okay, we are so far away with that from that. And also, if we look up to Uruguay, the work of Maestro Tavares has been wonderful. He's been for 10 years supervising and planning the youth development of the youth national teams, and that work has allowed him to also renew the adult national team, who has seen some of their stars retire, like Forlán, for example. Mm-hmm. Or Abreu, you know. So they have done a long-term work. And here, the biggest sin of the Chilean FA is to isolate the work of the adult national team from the youth. And there's not a plan, there's not a cohesive line of work. And they have gone from one coach to the other, and failure after failure. And now only the under 17 really struggled to qualify for the World Cup in India. But the problem is that they only did it with the spirit of Rambo, but without football. I mean, they cannot play. They cannot play. They play just very little football. So that's yeah, a problem.
And mind you, Chile's had people like Hugo Tocali, who, you know, has been one of the most important and most referential type of youth developers in all of South America, and all of world football, as a matter of fact, over the past decade. And Tocali still couldn't make it happen. So, I mean, that's kind of worrisome in and of itself. Cecilia, I didn't want to hold you up anymore. I really appreciate you coming on. I just want to recognize you for all the work you've done, for everything that you've been able to do throughout your career. And you know, if you head to wherever, I don't know if you're going to Netherlands or if you're going to Spain or if you're going to anywhere in the world, I know it's going to be awesome. Are you doing plans of heading elsewhere? Are you going to remain in Chile? I mean, what's the plan?
Yeah, no, I'm planning to move to the Netherlands. Yeah, that's my next destination.
And that'll be tremendous to be able to, you know, check you out over there and have you, you know, contributing from all over. And what else are you doing right now? And where can people follow you on social media or even on the internet?
Yeah, well, mostly I am really active on social media. You know, there's a terrible installed male chauvinism here, and I don't have any working opportunities right now because they don't want some serious analytic woman talking about football like I have now with you.
Oh, no, how can you have bimbos. That?
Yeah, exactly. They only want bimbos, and that's it. But I'm very active on social media, and my Twitter is at Cecilia Lagos, mm-hmm, all together, just the way it sounds. And I have also opened a YouTube channel, which I try to upload some videos with some comments about some games or special moments in football, but I have to do it myself, so sometimes I'm not that active in that channel. Yeah. Anyway, but you know where I'm really active is on Twitter. It's at Cecilia Lagos, so that you can follow me always and you can contact me always there. And I wanted to make a remark about Tocali, because, mm-hmm, he was a failure here.
Yeah.
His run here in Chile was a terrible failure from his appointments until he had to fire one of his appointed coaches to take on the same job, and he failed terribly. So he had to resign, and sadly, it was we are wandering in the desert right now about that. So I don't know what's going to happen really with the youth national teams here in Chile.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I mean,
yes, exactly.
It's a matter of time. Well, Cecilia, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being here, and good luck wherever you go, whatever you do. I know it's going to be great, and I'll be making sure that I follow it every single step of the way. And if we do come across in Russia or anywhere, I make sure that, I don't know, well, not vodka. No, I'm not gonna say vodka, maybe coffee. I'll just probably say that.
Oh, just probably say, something we both know.
Coffee
or a tea. I'm more of a tea drinker. Person than the coffee.
Exactly.
Yeah, but definitely. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
The vodka
so
part,
much.
We'll just leave it. Yeah. We'll leave it elsewhere for another time.
I think so too. Drink either.
neither do I. So I guess we'll look at it from a distance. But anyway, Cecilia, thank you so much.
Let's stick to the tea. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I think that'd be best. I mean, yeah, forget it. I think we should just stick with that because that's the best way to go. Thank you, Cecilia. It's been great. And I look forward to, you know, to just seeing your work, girl. Just keep going. Just keep grinding, girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Juan. Of course, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for your invitation. Of course, mm-hmm. whenever you want to have me in your show or whatever you need, just give me a call. Thank
Will
you so
do.
Much. And
Will
greetings
do.
To your audience, too. Greetings for your audience, too. Thank you for having me.